I want to thank everybody this morning and also to welcome everyone in this meeting. It really feels great because if it was according to our wish, observers would come because this is about them and their wish. Even if you don't actively participate in terms of law by raising issues, but remember that you are within a limit and very close to those who have a duty to do things on your behalf. I welcome in particular the members that belong to this committee. Thank you very much for prioritizing this committee, and also those who were not there, I think they were able to catch up with other members so as to be able to make our work easy. We come here because we come from different backgrounds, different political parties, so how democracy works, because we must really have a better idea and at the end of the day find what best for our people. So all of us, your views are welcome, honorable members. We would never think it is a foolish question on a single day. Every question for us counts. Every input for us counts. Unfortunately, our worst enemy is the time. We last meeting, we had a few that chair will not be saying a lot. And then I was going to be paid 1,000, but others have not come forward and made that payment, having lived to that expectation. However, let me say the meeting is open, and I've done my welcome remarks. And what I also want to get from the members, we don't want to use tradition much, but we also, according to the participants themselves, what approach would you like? The approach in terms of the tabling of this report, we might say the content advisor must talk to each page and make a summary, because we will be going according to pages. So instead of reading sentence by sentence, but rather having them speaking on the content of each page while we look into the page. And then up until if there are clarities, we accommodate clarities, and we will have noted pages where we want to make input as he continues to make the presentation. And then what we are rushing to is the what is most important is also the recommendations. Because we do this so that there must be change. And in many times change goes with budget, although with affordability concept at the end. So if we can do that, and then members are saying it's okay, I will then say she must go on. Honorable Whip, are you having any concern? It's okay. That's the house, you are a small house, the extension of the house. If I say house, I feel very comfortable because it's the extension of Parliament. Can we take that approach? Thank you very much, honorable members. Can I therefore implore you that you talk from each page, and then at the end they are going to be, during your presentation, to be listing matters they want to make their views known about that. So if I am comfortable with that arrangement, thank you very much. Can then I allow you to start? Apologies. I always ignore this, but it's important is we have an apology by Honorable Juan Merve. Maybe she will be coming. And also Honorable Wilson, okay, they will join us later. And Honorable Dagi as well. But the fact that we have got these apologies makes us to be more comfortable that they did get the message, and therefore they are being held by particular conditions in their environment. They are part and parcel of this meeting. Thank you very much. Thank you, Secretary, for advising me on that note. Then we then, we, I think we have exhausted all the pre-arrangements for our engagement. Can again allow you to contact the advisor to take us through. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning to all honourable members. Without wasting time, Chairperson, if we look at page one, is a bit of introduction. Basically, it outlines what the mandate or the function of the committee is. As Chairperson has already explained, it's an extension of the National Assembly. So one function that of conducting oversight, that's what we are busy with now. So the function of the committee in terms of oversight on the financial and non-financial performance of the department. So the introduction is basically about that and what the process of the people are enabling the committee to do. The most important thing is that it recognizes that they are the part of the corporate department and that it also uses the source document from the stakeholders. I think the most important thing is that BRRR or the budget review process gives the committee an opportunity to have a say in the budget allocation of the department through the medium-term budget policy statement. It can also make recommendations with regard to the issues pertaining to service delivery of the department. That's just the summary of what this process is about. And below that, it does say now the constitutional mandate of the committee. And on page two looks at the functions of the department, its entity, mainly just what the department is about, the legal framework on which it was established, both the Southern NDA and the department, just the standard description. On page three, briefly, it gives the purpose of the BRRR, which as so many members they fully understand what this is about, that it comes from the money bills of Parliament. And if you look at the method which the committee employed when it was drafting this report, that it looked at the entities and the department's annual reports, the Inspector General, and the analysis from the support staff, that would be the research analysis that was done by our researcher, and also looked at the national challenge as well. Number, overview of the key policy focus areas. These chapters are just what was discussed during the strategy planning workshop for the committee, looking at the source where the department derived its mandate from, the government priorities or the MTSF, that is also linked to the NDP and down to the priorities and strategies of the department. So out of the 14 that we identified, the 7, 1, 3, 6 that have relevance to the work or to the mandate of the department. Chairperson, let me just to explain, the BRRR is a bit unique in that it looks at the past performance and also it's forward-looking. So when you look at the analysis of the State of the Nation Address, it may seem that it's misplaced here. Mm. However, the SONA for 2013, that's the one that the department was reporting on in terms of the annual report. Now this 2014 is forward-looking now, so next year when they come to present, this is the SONA that the committee will be focusing the analysis on. So that's why it is here. Okay, so basically now highlight the priorities that were raised and analysis the priorities by the researcher. And then if you go to page, I hope all of it is on page 5 now, just at the bottom of page 5. That is the priorities of the department for 2013-14, the listed there, which are the ECP, the ECBND model, which is expanding the child and youth care services, combating substance abuse and gender-based violence, increasing household food and nutrition security, and protecting and promoting the rights of older persons and people with disabilities. So these are the focus areas that the putting of the department focus on. And the president has already explained, when you look at the page 6, it focuses on the recommendations that were made by the Pillars Committee on this, the RRR. And the main thing that is highlighted here was the achievement of targets, which last year was 61% that were achieved and 39% that were not achieved. I'm very pleased, ma'am. And if there is any
query, members will just make an MD so that we can come back and correct that. Okay, is it correct? Or it's correct now? Okay, sure. Any member who feels that there is something will make a note so that we can come back to you.
Okay. We're on page 6 now. I'm sorry. Okay, page 6 highlights the issue that was picked up at the previous committee, that of targets, and the recommendation that the committee made on that specific observation. For example, it recommended that the department should review how it sets its targets, and that they should be smart, simple, measurable, attainable, realistic, and time-bound. And also it made a recommendation that the department should use evidence-based when it makes up its targets. And the other issue that was released by the committee was that of the 4 dormant accounts that were also reported on by the general this year, last week. And the committee made a recommendation that the minister should address the issue of those dormant accounts. And by drafting or introducing a legislation that would repeal them. And also the committee raised concerns on the protecting of elderly women and requested the department to introduce or to develop strong interventions to protect their persons. And also addressed the concern on the ECD infrastructure, especially those that are located in rural areas. On page 7, okay, the other issue that was highlighted was that of the foster care, that there is delays in the processing and finalization of court orders for extension of foster care, and that the department should expand the substance abuse evaluation centers. So what I've done, members, on the same page, I made progress on the recommendations that were made by the committee on progress made implementing 2013. Oh yeah, track session. Thank you. Yes, this was 13-14, it was 13 recommendations. Okay, when you look at the achievement of targets, we this year have reported that the department increased their achievement from 61 to 69, and the non-achieved targets increased from 31 to 49, and also the department resumed a process of repealing the Fundraising Act of 1978, which will repeal these 4 disaster funds. However, SASA will continue with the social relief of distress program that provides interventions when there's a need. And when it comes to older persons, we were informed this year that the department launched the register on persons convicted of older persons in July 2014. This register will almost function as similar to the child protection register that we recalled those people that have been convicted of having committed or abused older persons. However, the minister, when this question was raised, I remember last week, she mentioned that regulations of this act are being amended to address some concerns that were raised by the Department of Justice. I'm not quite clear what those concerns were because the minister didn't really elaborate what the concerns were that were raised. Maybe that's something that can be followed up by the committee. And in terms of the ECD, remember the COTEN was the infrastructure of the ECD, especially in rural areas. So we know that this year the department conducted a comprehensive audit of the ECD centers and also policy developments that were made. One was the action plan that was presented to the committee. And in terms of the substance abuse, there was not any progress of the project in terms of the recommendation to roll out substance abuse evaluation centers that was recommended by the committee from the previous year. So that is one area that I could not pick up something. So in terms of the foster care, the Children's Act is being amended. And part of the amendments will address the delays or the challenges that were picked up when this act was implemented, especially with regard to the foster care. On page 8-17, I think from page 8 to page 15, members, it's information I think the members are already familiar with, that there's a center has done an analysis before the department came to brief the committee on their annual report. So it's just about the financial performance of the department and how the money was spent in different programs and the achievement of targets. I don't know if I should go back to that, but I think the members are quite familiar with that. Okay, and then on page 15, there's a report of the Auditor General that we also got briefing from. And on page 16, members, the important thing will be number 5, which just gives an overview of the service delivery performance of the department, which I think the main thing is that of the assessment of targets that I've already explained. And if you look at the trend analysis that we were given by the department, we see that at least there has been improvement in the achievement of targets from 54% in 2011-12 to 69% in 2014. And 11.61%. So there was an improvement in terms of the department achieving its targets. I think that's one thing I would like to highlight there. One of the tools or the assessments that the committee uses on this, because for us, we look at its own activity in terms of oversight. So, Chairperson has advised on us, you say previous committee, sorry Chair, I forgot about this. This is about previous committee, not this current one, that undertook an oversight visit to Gauteng. And, okay, the main issues that the committee focused on was the fight against abuse of women and children, substance abuse, and the fight against crime, job creation, all those priorities of government and subsidiary of the department. Okay, and the finding of the committee was that the strategic objectives, priorities that were set by the provincial government were in line with that of the department. Okay, I think the main thing I'd like to highlight there is the main findings for the other stuff is just what they were presenting. And the child and youth care centers, the initial image there was that on paragraph 6. It says one important finding by the committee which had significant policy implications was that the center, that is the water and sewer child care, which is the child and care center, it had challenges in placing children, especially orphans in foster homes. This made it difficult for the center to create accommodations for new admissions. This was because there was a lack of alternative placement options. Another challenge was that the staff of the center were not capacitated or trained to work with children with special needs. The committee also found that the physical infrastructure of the center was not conducive for children with disabilities. such as the finding, such as policy implications. And another one, just a paragraph after that, was the issue of registration, which we know that the department is doing. The center, the Makassar Sulu Youth Care Center, and the Soweto Old at Home, they reported that they had not been fully registered. The Makassar Sulu could not be registered because there were delays in obtaining permission for zoning from the local government. The Old at Home, the Soweto, was still waiting to be issued with the health certificate for it to be registered. So those are the findings that I think I thought are important to highlight in terms of the findings. And the other one just below that is the have to do or relate to the white paper on families. The committee conducted an oversight to FAMSA, which is the organization that is funded by the department or the culture department. And it has family presentation programs, which the committee found them to be very useful. And they target different groups, single, married, teenage mothers, children, individuals, as a family as a whole, all child-headed households, they all have problems that they were assisting with in terms of all these different groups. And the findings on page 18 was that this family intervention has strengthened families and provided the surrounding communities with necessary skills. And one important benefit, the other person that told the committee was that the senior survivor,
can we request the set to come and join the other officials and allow Honorable Mabi? Oh, you have already said to them. Okay, thank you. Okay, fine. No interaction. This is come from the ability to the DC. Oh. Okay, she must continue then. Yes, there was an apology for Honorable Mabindo, but we knew he was already in the coma. It is sorting things out. That's why we didn't raise. Thank you. You're welcome, Honorable Mabindo.
Okay, thank you, ma'am. Honorable Mabindo, and then as we are on page 18. Oh, okay. With regard to the older person, the committee found that the intervention or the program that was implemented by FAMSA called Senior Survivor Craft, it fell in place that now the older person had, what they told the committee, that it fell as a place where they found the sense of belonging. The members shared their experiences, problems, and support each other. So this clearly illustrates the importance of the white paper in families and the positive impact to have if it is successfully implemented. Chapter 10, when it comes to the implementation of the prevention of and prevention of prevention of and treatment of Substance Abuse Act and the National Drug Master Plan, the committee visited the FANCA, which satellite office in Dorado Park, and there it found that the FANCA had satellite offices that were located within the registration areas. And those were quite effective because they were very accessible to the people and they could serve. And a lot of, like, for example, GIS, they managed to reach out to 20,000 beneficiaries. So that was one kind that the committee highlighted there, and that it actually made a recommendation that the department should consider rolling out such kind of offices because they are affordable and they are accessible, and compared to the rehabilitation centers, which sometimes are not even available within the close, the nearby areas for some certain people. So this was because they are in the communities, users can be able to access them. Then the challenges are actually raised by the office that it doesn't have the detoxification program, and in many clients are in need of it. Okay. The important also in finding from the visit of Susanka is that of what the organization was doing in linking their beneficial economic activities, which I think that's something that can be beyond just the social outcomes beneficial. This panel is already cited with something that looks at other people who are in need of this kind of intervention. So that's something that the committee can also maybe raise up with the department, which even this one can highlight to the department. Okay, the number that we just explaining what I just explained now, in the name of the satellite offices or the evaluation centers of substance abuse. Then on page 18 to 19, that's when the report discusses on the committee briefing. Okay, here, citizens and members, remember we received the briefing from the Medical Research Council on their findings on the steps that they are taking on gender-based violence, specifically against women and children. And yeah, these are the findings that they had reported to the committee. Okay. Then on page 19 at the bottom, we also received a presentation from Shugumisa that was last Friday, where they raised their concerns on the recently established gender-based violence command center, that it duplicates the existing services, the stop gender violence helpline.
Just a minute to make an intervention there. There are those recommendations that are beginning to be elevated in relation to these two pages. So when we come, if they don't appear as recommendation, we note so that we are able to add them. And also, this concern that is being raised now about Shugumisa. So I'm just highlighting that when we come to the actual recommendations that will be read for Parliament to approve for us to ensure that department does, we must be very alive to that one. So that if they are not included in the... Because these are lessons from the visits that were done around Gauteng. And also we've got people come really from El Rado Park. So that when we make recommendations for roll out, we must be able to put that in our recommendations. Critically, why we have a report is to find how we can assist the department by putting forward recommendations for them to implement, even the matters now that have been raised by Shugumisa. Thank you. I just wanted to make us to be alive to that one.
Thank you, Dr. Person. You just reminded me of what you just said now, back on page 19. There's a recommendation that the committee had made today. That's under the last bullet on page 19. That even though the committee acknowledged the high cost implication of conducting national service, this is in relation to the presentation by the MRC. Let's not expect that these services are essential for the country to have, if they serve as a critical assessment tools and provide good evidence for policy interventions. So it's just something that I should highlight. Okay.
Members of the committee must assist Parliament and the department in terms of, I've heard that some, when you read here, there's a part that was referring the department to further support and extend its support, security, social assistance in various kinds throughout the country to cover all needy families. But we remember there's an ongoing debate that will promote dependency. So I don't think the members of this committee should not take this back out also to say in any country, whether well-developed first countries, there will always be needy people. So there's no way we can indeed sit here as Parliament and say it's enough now, let us go economic development. Because people are difficult to be equal. And there will be always those who are at the lowest and need these services. So we should ensure that we don't yield to this debate. Honorable Wilson, we receive your apology and we acknowledge it, but you will listen to your neighbor now, because we have gone past your privilege family thing. But this is accommodated in the report. Thank you. The family support. So.
Okay, so that intervention is
that
preparing us for final recommendations.
Okay, thank you, Chairman. Okay, with regards to Shugomisa, the issue that the presenter or the organization raised was that there was a reduction of priorities related to sexual violence from 6 to 4 in the 2010-2015. Strategic plan, and the gender-based violence was incorporated under anti-substance abuse, and they felt that the gender-based violence should be a priority of its own because it's got different or various intervention requirements. And they felt like the launch of the National Gender-Based Violence Command Center by the department in partnership with Vodacom to create the National Stop Gender Violence Headline, which is also funded by the department and the Gauteng Department of Social Development. And their concern was that this command center received a large, or they said it was fully funded, and the budget of 14.3 million, which will increase to 16 million in 2016-17. However, the National Stop Gender Violence Plan only costs 1.2 million a year. So they felt that the last amount of money was provided for a private sector company, whilst the NGO's funding was less or reduced. And they also said there was a potential duplication between the Interministerial Committee on Gender-Based Violence, driven by the Department of Social Development, and the National Council on Gender-Based Violence, and the inconsistency of funding between the provinces. And there also raised a concern that expanded hard work program, this report is not the committee report. What is being read now, it is the presentation of the Shugumisa NGO reporting. And then it will afford members of this portfolio committee to engage on that. When we put it in the report, we are actually showcasing that these are the thinking of people. So members must not think that we are saying this is what the committee is saying. We are saying this is what was presented to the committee by Shugumisa. So members have said, these analysis and reports of various NGOs or partners presenting to us, then we have an opportunity to talk to that before we finalize the report and adopt the report. So thank you very much. Yes, I'm able to see when people are not very much comfortable with what is being said, as it is said by them, when they have not said no. It's not telling you that this is what was presented before you as legislator, thank you, or policy maker, thank you. Okay, thanks for that clarification. Okay, the last concern that they raised was that the EPWP is not appropriately supervised, and it's not an appropriate program to support rape fences, and this program is run by volunteers. To address their concerns, they made the following recommendations. The department should not duplicate existing NGO programs and services, as the Ministry of Social Welfare prohibited duplication of fences. The funding policy to the NGO should be reconsidered to reflect value of work in full. The funding model to the community should be better standardized. And services must determine funding, not funding determine the services.
Can I make an explanation there? Because I was present in sharing in that particular presentation. They referred to social workers. I want to empower the members that were not present. Shumisa was referring to social workers, that if social workers get employed by an NPO or an NGO, they are paid lesser than their counterparts who are employed by government. And they also said, many a time, the unemployed social workers, in order to gain experience, they volunteer in various NGOs so as to gather experience. But in that process, they are suffering because they don't have even an SNT or whatever. So the appeal in my understanding was that if there is a professional work that are required by a particular service, it would help if the social workers were somehow standardized, that once you qualify as a social worker, you don't have to leave this NGO, because now the competition is unfair and then NGOs are not able to cope because they don't have any much donor funding of nowadays. I think the global problem is economically making other countries to have limited donation to these NGOs. They solely depend on government. And then if government can't afford, then many of them are getting paralyzed. So I wanted to put the context in which they were raising these matters. For example, if an NGO is dealing with social crime or anti-drug abuse, and they don't have social workers while dealing with minors, there is a violation of that activity, because it's not, that's where the issue of EPWD comes in. That you cannot think EPWD is relevant, where sometimes you will be committing crime to manage a drug affected person if you are not qualified to do so. So if an EPWD looking after a child, you don't have that required qualification to look after the young people or the elderly or the mentally affected due to drug abuse. So we're putting those people at risk in terms of abiding with law. But at the same time, they are EPWD available, so because they are not employed. So I want to make this clear to the committee so that when they make recommendations at the end, they're quite aware of what the NGOs think of them, so that when they come also to the gallery to listen, when the committee is responding to the relevant platform, they're able to hear that the work that they are doing as NGOs of coming to government is also recognized to an extent that government responds. I think I want to make that to be so much my whip taken to the recommendations. You can't just waste your time and then when you tell people they don't say you are wrong one and you are right. So I wanted to support your presentation why this one is here and that of Medical Research Council is here. While we are not saying those who didn't come, we don't care about that, but as I was saying, they cover a lot of provinces in the process when we interrogated the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
I think the honourable member, who has not been part of this committee from the beginning, if you finding us helping, I am comfortable. Thank you very much. Because when you are in other alternate committees, when you come to a committee, I was once saying you come here some other time. I used to sit here for 5 or 10 minutes and see the coffee spaces I know and ask to me. And what are they talking about these houses and not health? Then I would go out and look for health again. So I know when you are new, you get the content in order to know whether you are in the right forum or not. So we go through that process, all of us. Thank you.
Okay, Chairperson, thank you. Okay, the next paragraph, Chairperson. Oh,
on the last bullet point, they recommended that committee should consider organizing public hearings around an appropriate approach to funding services, including lab services. Then the response by committee was to acknowledge the concern around the inconsistencies in the funding of the NPOs and the need for a more coherent funding model. The committee also highlighted some of the initiatives that the department has undertaken. For example, the ECD action plan, the white paper on fringes, the Mekonza project, and the universalization of old age grant, the support grant, and most importantly, the draft bill on the victim empowerment support services and the bill on social service practitioners as attempts by the department to try and address the service delivery challenges that have been, or gaps that have been identified. It, however, raised the concern that there's still a lack of access of services of the NGO sector in the rural areas. And there's a need for a countrywide expansion of the NGO footprint in rural areas. And Shukumi explained that it recognizes this gap, hence it has started working with the traditional leaders. Then the committee resolved that we organize public hearings with the NGO sector, and this hearing will be preferably held in the provinces. The next section deals with services to older people, and it uses the research that was conducted by this institution not necessarily represented in the committee. And the main one that I have here, there's one presentation that was done by the previous committee. It considers the petition by older people. And in that petition, the issues that were raised related to the citizen's right, family responsibilities, provision of services for other persons. And the main issue that the previous committee picked up was that the older persons were not had a good understanding of the indigent policy concerning raising concerns in terms of the access to basic services. So they were not aware of the advantages or the privilege they have through this indigent policy. And I think most relevant to the sector, to the committee and department, was the issue of the older person and the information on granting aid that is available to them. And also the raised issues of abuse or bad attitude or treatment, I'm not sure that is a better word, at the pain points, and particularly there's one in Western Cape in Athlone. And the committee then made the recommendations as follows, that the department should not closely with the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform that is responsible for the provision of social infrastructure in rural areas. This talks to the infrastructure in the pipelines for SASA.
I'm happy it is raised by that petition of the older people in Parliament, because in various areas they are raising Athlone, if we will make recommendations, we must also have target areas to go. And when we make recommendations, for example, in Khayelitsha, they were saying there has been reduction by SASSA of various pay points. And as they reduce the various pay points, they make people now to move to the many in one outlet or service delivery point, which makes them to arrive very early, and their pain might take all day but not finish everybody. It causes them therefore to flock, especially in rural areas, to flock to this place for an area 4 a.m. And then they also travel late, going back and become victims of those who know and love them. So I think when we make our recommendation at that point, we must be clear as to what are we saying. Are we saying they should have many pay points or whatever, but that is a big
try in terms of those who feel they're dead, I take this information, and also the honorable members will give us evidence right here what happened in Hayes Hospital. On a month end, it's difficult to go to any bank because the queues are extremely long, and those people that slept there in any way. So I think we will have to say something about that when we deal with the recommendations pertaining to. Yes, thank you.
Okay, thanks, Jefferson. There's another point that I just missed out in terms of services to other persons. As I had already reported earlier that the department had launched the register on people who have been found to abuse other persons. The point here that I just made was that this act was passed in 2006 and the department only launched the register this year. But what I was reading, I was thought it would be useful if similar interventions like the child protection surveillance study and the child protection quality assurance tools, those are aimed at preventing and engaging intervention programs against child abuse and neglect. The same initiatives can also be designed for older persons as well. So that's just my, out of my analysis, members, maybe you can take it in as a recommendation or just thought something as a dream.
I know there's very little difference between children and elderly people. There's very little difference. So I think it's really applicable, but remember they make their views known to this point. But I know it's not a good idea, but in terms of the need, the support they need, they are required. I didn't say that.
Yeah, okay, sir. Okay. Okay, if you go to that on page 22, members. Yes. Okay. There's still an oversight visit to Gauteng. What the previous committee found was the problem of cross-border papers or SASA officers. Because of the delegation process that separated certain local offices and the perception by the public that the certain office is better and or better service than the other office. So in this particular case, the area that were highlighted was Hammanskraal, Bronkhorstspruit and Merahong. However, the committee noted that this is just one of many examples of such challenges, especially in offices in Gauteng, Northwest, Mpumalanga, who were also affected by the demarcation process. Okay, that's just one finding that the previous committee made, which can also be taken up in this recommendation. Okay, so then I think the next part, it looks at the external research that we use that assess the performance of the department. I think many issues that were raised by the research finding are actually what now the department has made progress in addressing them. For example, the exclusion of some children from the child support grant and the universalization of the child support grant. So we know that by 2016 the department aimed to have eliminated the new test on the child support grants and the older business pension. And also the health issues of poverty and the gaps in addressing the implementation of the poverty in poorest areas. And I just made the point that the department now has launched the Project Mukonzo at to address that in 1,300 words. And also some policies that the department has developed, like the food nutrition and security program and household food and security program strategy. Okay, Christine, the substance abuse, it was just highlighting the challenge of substance abuse in South Africa, and over the present page 24, there is progress that included that the department has done, that there is an act that is implementing, and there's a drug master plan that encourages the challenge of substance abuse in the country. The services of older persons, that's another research organization that has some findings on their, of their own. One was the South African Aging Network. It highlighted the need for, among others, the reviewing the Older Persons Act, which now the department now is doing that, and the Housing Act in order to include the needs of older persons. There's also a need to undertake a national audit on infrastructure available and required to address the needs of older persons' facilities.
Or maybe to make an intervention there for the committee. And this matter has been raised with the housing in the Indaba. And I read on a report which was in one of the papers over the weekend that the Indaba has endorsed that houses must target pensioners and elderly people and child-headed homes. I think this resonates with our, we must be able now that we know that this is the position of that sector, which is housing, we must be able to refer, to make an oversight as to, are they therefore getting that service which has been set aside for them? And the youth, there has been a great concern that why were they targeting youth in terms of housing? Because the youth has all the rights to be at school rather than run a home. Or the youth must be at work, and when they want to retire, they will now settle in whatever province. But if you give them a home in that home now, they are the moving target. They will get an employment in housing somewhere away from where you have already put that empty house, which means that house will be sold or will not meet the housing need of those people. So they are coming with a clear proposal which helps to our integration in the IGR, where they say they target elder people, they target child-headed homes, and those who are vulnerable in terms of being disabled, and they don't agree with the notion that there should be really old age villages because people would be vulnerable. Immediately we all have houses, but we have a disability. It means everyone knows that we can't defend ourselves. So putting them aside alone, there should be that integration so that there is no discrimination against age. So I wanted to make this note because I've seen that it has been presented to this committee which deals with elderly people, and we should be noting what we know is the response of the necessary department. But other issues like water and electricity are also dealt with elsewhere. But this committee should be fully informed that there's a target of Mama Nkosi Mgonyane was saying they are targeting alternative energy in the form of solar, if you like, for those people so that they are supposed to be getting free basic services as in detail. But now they will be targeted by being a priority in solar geysers and many other alternatives so that they are not forced to pay for energy. As in ESCOM and so it becomes, it can take all what they benefit as a grant. So that's it.
Okay. The next organization is Health Aid International. In their study, they conducted a study on pension-related abuse, and they found that women are more likely to be victims of abuse than men. This is because women tend to be more socially disadvantaged and marginalized from upper class than older persons. Most importantly, the study argues that the government's focus during 20 years of democracy has likely been on issues of youth than on those of older persons, and the fact that person has alluded to now. It has recommended that older abuse needs to be recognized as a crucial issue for each woman trained in all development processes. It also recommended that there is a need to strengthen advocacy against elder abuse and community awareness. It further recommended that there should be a commission for older persons which will promote a better understanding of intergenerational issues, especially those that affect older persons, safeguard and promote their interests, such as the recommendations that were made by this organization. The next section interprets them from page 24 to 26 at the top. This section deals with the assessment by the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation of the department. Basically what the assessment did was to, it had five key performance areas. One was governance and accountability. Number two was human resources and systems management. Another one was financial management. And another one was management performance assessment tool that they use. And then under these key performance areas, they identify the three performance targets as standards that they assess departments on. Okay, I just gave a little bit of an explanation because each scoring or assessment is color-coded. So red means non-compliance, orange means compliance, yellow for compliance, and green for compliance while doing things magic. So in each then, KPA chairperson just gave what the assessment was of the department from the DPM, Department of Planning and Monitoring. So remember, this is the information that maybe can use on how they assess the department.
Yes, because we are bringing into this committee and this document the tools that the sources that we used in assessment. So that if we come to an understanding that the department has performed, we can substantiate who else said so, other than we are avoiding a situation where we become subjective as a coach and believe on our own observations. You have made it a point that we bring all the analysis by other monitoring organizations. That's why we're bringing in Shukumisa, we're bringing in all these others, and also the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation, nationally in the presidency. What did they say? And also then when we go to finance, we'll be talking about AG, etc. This is just ensuring that we are honestly doing our work without being affected. So we are trying by all means to be objective rather than being subjective. So please bear with us, it's taking time to read this, but it's just to substantiate. If somebody would ask why I'm saying there's improvement, it's not a comeback. It's what also our interests, our researchers, other external means of assessment and government department. So please bear with us. I know it's taking time. We will try to be fast, but please bear with us. We must give you information that does not originate internally inside Parliament, so that even those employees who are there and those people deployed there know that ours is to be honest in our way. Thank you. We have acknowledged your arrival. We have acknowledged your apology, but we are comfortable because most matters you were present. Thank you very much. You are very welcome.
Okay. Honourable Panel Member, we are on page 25. Yes, ma'am. Okay, members, you can just go on the most important page, number 7, page 26, the committee observation. Okay, the observations that I managed to pick up as I was listening to the deliberations by the committee were the concerns that was raised over high non-compliance,
of the NGOs to the NPO Act, which requires them to submit the annual report. Then the department responded that the NGO was given a task to conduct capacity building of emerging NPOs to assist them to comply with the Act. The department also conducted NPO roadshows to educate the NPOs on the Act.
Maybe to remind members, I remember the names of the honorables who were actually saying, other NPOs are not able to function now because they have not received the other tranches that of funds that were due to them. And therefore, for us as a committee, our approach was that they are not given transfers on the due dates they are supposed to. The department, another question that the department was, which is linking this question of non-compliance by the department by not giving them their, what is due to them at the time they're supposed to, so that their cash flows are correct, was also an issue that there was also an issue from our side as committee that because of that, they are really dying, they can't pay, they can't keep up the standard. The department was very, the other question was that, do you just give, as long as they are registered, do you just give them, fund them? And then the department has answered these two questions in one question, in one answer. That those NGOs who do not receive what is due to them in terms of budget is because they fail to comply in terms of submitting their expenditure and whatever financial report in time. And therefore, they also made the department not spend on what was supposed to be in transfer. The other side of the same coin was that possibly how the department said they are monitoring that such funds, because the question was, are these NPOs audited? How do we know that they are using those funds for what they were meant for? The answer was that they are supposed to submit financial reports. And so that was one answer. The other one was probably, that's an assumption, a thumbs up, they might not be having the capacity to deal with those financial reports. And the department said they have therefore instructed NDA to build that capacity so that they are not necessarily, their work is important, but they don't meet their obligations. And therefore, department, take it upon yourself to train them. So I want this balance of information to be clear as to what is meant around this and this concern of ours. I know this is a report, and the honorable members and the staff and the officials, I have no problem them talking to each other or members talking to each other, because this is a report, so they need to verify issues within themselves and within any member who says, no, we didn't say that. Why is it? So I'm not worried about that. I know you can be able to do that in such an environment where we are critically looking into our assessment and our observations. And I also, as I say, want to account why we came to that understanding. So continue reading our observations. We must be critical also, critical thinking in why we were questioning this. Okay.
I'm posing the wrong one. Okay, so thanks. That's reminding me that there's still a committee observations and then recommendations will come at the end of the report. The committee can actually use these observations to formulate recommendations. Okay, Chairperson, I'm just now maybe right what is explained, just to further give clarity on this issue here. Okay, okay, the next one was that the committee observed that the department has implemented programs across provinces according to their needs.
It welcomed the department's efforts of increasing its footprint in all provinces, implementing programs according to the service delivery needs of the provinces. It also commended the department for obtaining clean audit and the good leadership of the minister and the director general. And it also observed that the department managed to increase the number of targets achieved from 61% in 2012-13 to 69% in 2013-14.
Yes, Madam Tikop.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Can I give some input now?
Observations or at the end? No, at the end, please. And all members, you should be open if you be free to make your input insofar as what committee members say. And fortunately, with me, Honourable Tikop, I'm still responding to you. We have brought the presentations, and we have also brought forward as a source the Auditor General's report, so that those were not present there. When we talk about the argument would be, are they doing good work, or they are doing disservice, then we will have to substantiate our input and make reference to pages where Auditor General make mention of what has been done. That's why I was saying, as we continue listening to the report, critical areas must be uplifted so that we know the source. So you will have your time.
Okay.
The observations of the committee.
Yeah. I think the next part members from 26 to 30, it basically gives the financial and non-financial performance of SASA, which the committee I think had already considered when engaging with SASA and using the information from the research. So if members allow, I think a critical point now is the observation on page 30. Okay, these are the combination, the observations that are able to stop. Okay, the committee raised a concern that the Auditor General identified 11 areas of concern under internal controls out of the total of 14 areas. And the majority of these areas are located at management and leadership level. The agency then explained that when it was established in 2006, it inherited some staff members from the Department of Social Development who had limited training and qualifications. These staff members have to be trained to be able to exercise proper oversight and supervision on internal control. Witnesses identifying the supply chain management during the arriving of the payment tender were found to have been as a result of staff members who had not been able to use the financial and supply chain system. So SASA is constantly improving these issues from the time it had received a disclaimer to a yearly audit report it obtained in 2013-14. The committee reiterated its concern over the illegal deductions from the social grant payments. It wanted to know what progress has the department and SASA made in addressing this problem. The agency reported that a task team was established to investigate deductions from the social grants, and the report will be finalized by the end of 2014. The department and SASA are also working in partnership with BSS, the National Credit Regulator, and other civil organizations to find possible alternatives.
Honorable Marilo and other honorable members, I don't want any you to be disturbed in this particular one because these are your clear observations, mm-hmm. And I know the argument in the chair is going to arise, and we are beginning to talk now with sense in terms of this report. Because I was present when AG reported, there were already arguments that Auditor General is not correct because of this and this. So clearly I brought this because this is also a record that contributes to our findings as a committee and recommendation. Thank you.
I'm not saying that somebody is
not in order, but I'm trying to alert
so that all our cognitive areas are at a level where we are ready for critical thinking and critical listening, if there is that.
Okay, so the thing, I think that they've started working, or they've are working with DFS, National Credit Regulator, and other civil organizations to find possible interventions to this. And the NCR, which is National Credit Regulator, had already cancelled licenses of companies found to have been deducting money illegally from the grant. The committee has a very concern over 53 vacancy rates with highest senior management in highly skilled positions. The agency explained that if staff establishment was created in accordance with the provisions of the South African Social Security Act, which required the agency to perform the grant administration and payment. However, grant payment has been assigned to service to external service providers. Therefore, some of the vacancies have remained as unfunded vacancies. It had filled two executive manager posts during the 2013-14 financial year. Those are the observations I managed to pick up, Chairperson.
Also, I would want to make this benefit of doubt, if I'm correct, that the department, Honorable Court, is very critical on this one. I know all this comes from the side. This feeling of vacancies and human resource development. When I refer to people like Honorable Wilson on the part, on the critical analysis of her ability to family and other things, I'm not saying people are not doing a good. I'm just to know that, I know that such a question, this person is always preoccupied without being it's an appreciation that while others are very critical, like the IGR integrating and other funds, some are always critical in that. So I'm saying this with honesty and appreciation, that when this question was coming from Honorable Mpoti, it was also the issue that they are not sure, because the court ruling was they must bring back to the department the grant in the audience. So it is not now very clear to most of us whether they should increase the employees they already have when they know that it might be enforced again. And will they not create unemployment for many if they actually put them on board now? But at the same time, the dilemma is that they are not efficient in their service now because they are posts that are not filled. But that's where now it has come to an arrangement where the minister said, I hope I am correct. She said, yes, set up this type of committee that you read the number of people from various organizations to advise the minister on what should be done in this whole dilemma. Because you have a situation where you must be perfect, effective in service delivery, paying people out there, no long queues. But on the other side, you are supposed to advertise at this or in source. So that's where our dialogue is there. And we are not likely to be the ones, because ours is oversight, to do this. We will listen when they say, this is what they are going to do. And then we say, we will oversight if you do exactly what you told us you will be doing. I wanted to make a clarity in that one. And so far as this, because this is about the vacancies, et cetera. Thank you.
Okay. Chairperson, the next pages are basically about the analysis of the performance of the NGA, which the point I already gave to it. And I would like now to go to page 33, which is committee observations. Okay, and number 12. The observations made, the committee commended the NDA for the increased allocation to project costs and reduction in administration costs. This change will enable the agency
to reach more projects that are aimed at assisting rural communities. It further commended the NGA for exceeding the government disability target. The committee, however, noted that annual reports do not report on the number of people with disabilities employed at management level. The committee was satisfied by the NGA's initiative to mobilize 98 million through its partnership with various government departments and provincial departments. This indicates progress it made implementing recommendations made by the previous committee. The committee has recommended that the agency should act as a strategic partner in poverty alleviation and intensify its fundraising to complement its budget allocation that reported was inadequate. Okay, so now coming to the recommendations.
Okay.
On the same page, the recommendations are structure the same site, department first, SASA, then the NGA. Okay, it's having deliberated on the department's annual report, the committee recommends the following. The minister should ensure that the department's intergovernmental relations with its counterpart, in particular those who implement its cross-cutting functions, is strengthened to ensure that it manages to achieve its targets. The minister should ensure that the minister should ensure that the department ensure that there is consistent service delivery in all the provinces, with particular focus on rural areas and other poor areas. In addition, the minister should ensure that the NGOs funded by the department expand their footprint in rural areas by fast-tracking the implementation of the policy on financial awards by provinces. The minister should ensure that there is consistent service delivery in all the provinces with particular focus on rural areas and other poor areas.
And can I come in there so that even if we write that in another format, but I want the content and the meaning behind it. It is because the Shukumisa NGO had said there is inconsistency in service delivery, in funding of the NGOs. And also, I also argue that the very existing NGOs do not exist in every part of South Africa. So while you find those which are found mainly in the urban, there are areas where you don't have any NGO, and communities are not able to form such because they don't have such capacity. That is why we are saying, therefore, the NGO's footprint must be extended, and then the minister, while funding them throughout the country, but capacity must be built because you can't throw money by such NGOs to extend the footprint even in rural areas or in the very, very urban. But putting it in that English, whatever it might be looked into and to be, it is correct. And so that it reflects, we are a committee. Yes, yeah. So the other matter of the working with or of the death of the minister having to ensure that the department does not work alone in a silo. It is because somewhere in the report the department said they have not achieved some of their targets because of other departments who were supposed to participate so that the holistic approach in a particular program is done. One in a good example is health and education in ECDC. Because if there is no infrastructure, how is social development going to be able to get infrastructure that is required in terms of law to accommodate? Then that one is very clear in Walter Sisulu youth center, where, and also old age, where they are not able to, because they can't register, because they don't meet all qualifications. Secondly, I can tell you, you can't run an abattoir if the health does not approve your health standard, so that you can sell meat to us. So it is clear as that I won't be able to manage to give permission up until health does. It also affects social development. They can go and build an ECDC, but if there's no water, no one is going to approve it. If there's no electricity, it's not going to be functional. So the issue that when you have a plan, you must have consulted your other important partners. If you want to have an old age home, what about your social crime plan, social crime prevention plan, that these people will not be vulnerable? So that's why we are saying the minister must ensure that now that they have a plan, that plan must be discussed and consulted with other important key stakeholders in the program. That's where this IGR matter comes, because it's not far-fetched. It's coming out of our concrete experiences in dealing with these matters. I wanted also to not to have recommendations in your document, honorable members, that are just flying in your faces without the origin of saying, why are we making this particular recommendation? You can continue. But this part of recommendations could not really be completed when we were proofreading this document together with the officials, because we were still believing that when you meet today, before you finalize the document, you are able to say some of key recommendations will come out of your deliberations. So that one, I think we have reached an end. Yes?
No.
Okay. So are we comfortable with the arrangement? Yes.
Okay, the next one is on that the minister will ensure that departments fast track the rollout of Project Nikonzo in all provinces. The minister should lobby the National Treasury to increase funding for food security programs and public participation in the form of Project Nikonzo. This will ensure that the department reduces violence for public participation.
Okay, the member of Program 5. Program 5 had environment going to Program 5.
Yes.
And when we wanted to find out, they said it is because it also does a lot of public participation when you have individuals. But if you go to any individual and you find people are not here but no shelter above them, it doesn't give sense to a government, particularly minister, saying, I will go and plan so that next year you will have a roof on your head. So that's why we are saying, if there's public participation, education about rights, education about availability of grant aid, you really need to, and also to know families. Honorable Wilson is not present. I'm saying in order to know who is that in family, who is employed, where there's no one, no hope, how to break the cycle of poverty. You really need the data. And that we can share with other departments. So I think it's important.
Sure. The other recommendation is that the minister should strengthen an accounting system of management by the end of the current year, 2014-15. The minister should ensure that the department strengthens its psychosocial support, especially to the people who live in abject poverty. And the department should develop a baseline fund for public participation events. That's repeating it.
Yeah.
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 You just
explained that three messages. Okay. Thank you. Okay. With regard to SASA, the minister should ensure that SASA strengthens the provision of the social relief of distress.
provision of the third record is special should be provided in a consistent manner according to the circumstances and needs of the people. The minister should ensure that staff fill the critical vacant posts during the 2014-15 financial year. The minister should further ensure that SASA addresses the measures of emphasis raised by the AG so that it can receive an unqualified audit report with the findings.
When we say despite the dilemma of not knowing and waiting for an advice for the minister, critical posts that cause SASA not to be effective must be saved. So that's the recommendation. Members will raise issues when they are given opportunity, whether that recommendation is not correct, because the recommendation is put there for us to apply our mind. Yeah.
Okay, lastly, Chapter 10, regards to NDA, the recommendation. The minister should ensure that the agency strengthens and expands its branding and awareness campaigns so that it can reach all communities, including rural communities. The minister should ensure that the agency further expands on its role to build capacity of NPOs as established by the Shukumisa organization's concerns over the lack of funding and support of NPOs by department.
Remember, NPA said they are not known throughout the province and therefore does not reach other people because they also don't know about those communities. Hence the recommendation that so they should therefore increase our ability of ensuring their brand is known so that applications can flow and they can reach everybody as required by law.
Okay. The next section is the summary of the reporting request. Interrelated, that SASA should brief the committee on the steps that they can address unlawful withdrawals from the social funds. Prior to that, it should forward a copy of the 8-1 step plan it developed to address the illegal withdrawals. The CEO had promised that she will forward it to our committee secretary. Okay, the last part of the question is basically linking the performance of the department highlighting key issues back to the priorities that were raised that are or government outcomes for the next for the year, the 2014 MGSI sector.
Why don't we say we are done with the briefing and the highlights so that members are able now to apply their minds? And I would want us not to really argue more than put forward how these matters will be sorted out. But I'm not begging anyone, but I'm looking upon the fact that we have exhausted a lot of time in wanting us to understand what is contained in the report that we all have participated. So I'll give that opportunity to members. But I do know that the Honorable Mabilo was once a skills teacher and a teacher. When a student is a little bit noisy, that person is always set where there are no other people left. So there will be a ruling sometime. So can we lift our hands? I want to do that though. Yes, or input, comments, whatever, recommendations, whatever, we want to deal with that. We don't want us to go to the adoption up until we have been able to make our own views clear on what is contained in this document. But as I say, can I account to you, honorable members, that one, we have been reading out the reflection on how did we come to these conclusions and in these recommendations? The case being one, we as members of parliament have the right to say the people say. In my language, we are known as Akaban. A member of parliament is nicknamed as Akaban.
the members of parliament don't care whether that is true or not. All they know is that Bantu people say, so we have used our right for people say in this report. Two, we have been able to learn from concrete experiential learning from various members. Various members, I'm happy this committee is inclusive of both urban, rural, area urban, so it's very enriched in terms of different experiences. Thirdly, it's also the issue that depending on their exclusive and unique concrete experiential learning on the ground, we have looked into research, what, both internal and external. What are the NGOs experiencing out there? What is their wish? We have also received formal presentations from those who say, come and say, no, you are about, it's not public hearing, but we have felt as an organization, we are coming to present to you what our constituents as an NGO, NPO are suffering out there. We have also looked into the presentations of the key partners like EOF, those who represented elderly and so on. Also, we have formally listened to the Medical Research Council. We have also now looked into the research. You can see that there's a lot of research that has empowered that these are the issues. Then we have interrogated on an ongoing basis the department. It's time they come and brief the committee, we ask these questions. It's time they come and brief the committee, we ask hard questions. And we request that they bring, they substantiate. We say, bring, if you have NGOs and NGOs that you actually related to or you actually conducted an audit of the ECDC, tell us, substantiate your statement. We have that opportunity. The last one was the BRRR, which is a formal way of looking into the whole package of what has happened. It has been substantiated by the Auditor General. And I can tell you without wanting to influence you that this department has been our head. We have not written a formal letter to acknowledge that they have been acknowledged as having that award. And I do know that in the Eastern Cape, the FG, Mama Ula, also was our judge has been the best FG, not just in the woman, but of the work she has been doing as a leader. So we do have a combination of good leadership that is there. So this is how we have come to arrive to this particular great day for members. Now acknowledge members to reflect and make recommendations and whatever, make comments as how badly I conducted this session throughout, or no, you must start with the West scenario. So they are free, really free to say, no, we didn't conduct this oversight well. You were blocking us, you were doing this. I'm a human being, I'm subject to faults, so I'm open. Do everything, make your reflections freely. Honorable Fanderese, Honorable Abrams, Honorable Diko, I'm not doing door to door. Honorable Kodan, thank you very much. In that arrangement, number one, number two, number three.
Thank you very much, Jackson. Mine is merely a question. If we think back to the workshop, the National Development Agency embraced all of us quite a lot, but one of the issues was the issue of the fact that National Treasury wants to reduce their funding, and already they are struggling with regards to ECD and food security. Now, in terms of social development, we are making a recommendation that the Minister should lobby the National Treasury to increase the funding for the Imakonzo project. And I was just wondering, since on Friday they again called on us to support them in lobbying for more funds for their project, whether we can't have a recommendation to that effect under the, or would that be out of order?
Honorable Fanderese, you are a full-time member in this committee. You have all the right to make your recommendation. It's only when that recommendation is being opposed that will open for debate. But I think this page forward, and there's a record put forward that really, really, members will support you to say, you make this recommendation, thank you very much. We have asked all members to make their recommendations and their views to be expressed freely in this meeting.
Thank you, Jason. Then I would like to propose that as a committee, we follow the same sort of recommendation that we did under social development, and that the committee then supports the NDA to lobby, or the minister to lobby the National Treasury for more funds for the NDA, in light of the fact that they do have only a very small budget and that they look after ECD programs as well as food security programs. They have on two occasions asked the committee to support them in this process, and I would therefore like to appeal for us to include that as a recommendation, Chairperson.
Especially if they will have to empower those NGOs who could not abide because of lack of capacity, for them to conduct that activity actively and comprehensively, they need resources to do that. So, then, can I move? Are you through?
No, I just wanted to touch on that. That is in my recommendation for the committee's consideration.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, and thank you to the staff members for doing the presentation and the work. I know it's been a lot of behind the scenes we sometimes don't see, but thank you very much. And Chairperson, thank you also for enlightening us every now and then when you stopped, because it made it easy for us to understand what the points are. Otherwise, just to go through it, forgetting the overall yourself, but thank you for the assistance. Mine is basically just consistency within the report. The phase 3, for instance, BRR, if you just get connected to BRR, there's a few of them throughout the report. Phase 3, BW, you've got BRR, just to correct this typo.
The last R.
Last
R is report.
Report. Yeah. And then it's in page 7, phase 3 and phase 7. And also, I just want to ask a question on the IT. A word used, and I'm not English, I'm Zulu, so maybe... yes, but this is Kaluma. Yeah. When one uses the word it, and now maybe it repeats every part in the committee, sounds like a repertoire. But if it's necessary, we need to repeat it, because little Johnny is in the archives, and soon when all of the old, and we go, we Google, and we search for the Department of Social Development, we will find the word IT. And it wouldn't make sense. So perhaps if throughout the report there's quite a few, we just correct it. Instead of it's scared to use the department or use the committee. Okay. So you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. All right, then can I allow the content advisor to be allowed to listen to members? But honorably, we is worried about this triple B R, but the officials are saying the last R is that one who is saying report.
Mm-hmm. But the thing is, we are really excited because the three R because the examination, but the three is one.
Okay, so now it has been corrected, so you will not be worried and allow that member to make the input. I think you are worried about it,
yes.
Instead of saying the
department. Yes, our report, you would mention in the beginning, the department said, and then in between, in the paragraph, you would actually say it all the time. Even the department in the committee, you can just go through it, most of the pages that reflect that. What I'm asking is it right? No, I don't think so. Because when you go down and you Google on 10 years from now, it wouldn't, if you're searching for the Department of Social Development, the word it would appear and then you would confuse, you know, with the old people by then. But what I'm asking you to just correct, please. It, yeah. On the first page, you can use an example. The 1.1, you start with the committee, and then in the second sentence, you say it is also required. Now, it is related to animals with all due respect. And the second one also, it also enhances. We sitting here understand that for people to do research, to an extent, thank you.
That is just, I must remind you how I failed my examination. No, honorable Mavil, I was taught about signs of Pashioko. And as I continued my presentation, I was saying, these I was referring to, the signs. And then they said, hey, this is how they, and this professor was very angry with me and said, are they people? These signs, they become like people. So I'm saying this interpretation, when you talk to the department, you should be saying the department instead of saying it, because you have deleted it now when it becomes an it. So he said the department, but there was also another matter in the same, when you say priorities, you don't start a sentence by saying priorities, but you should be saying the priorities. So I think these are grammar issues, but we all know this is a language that is not our own. So no one should take an offensive. We always place it the way we speak. So, Honourable Chief, you are addressing us.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I would like to add as well, to make some of the recommendations a bit more specific, or add some recommendations, but it's open for discussion. If we look at the first bullet point, the minister should ensure that the department's intergovernmental relations with its counterparts is strengthened to ensure that it manages to achieve its targets by 2023. I was thinking that maybe we could add in the definition that says and minimize the duplication of any program. I don't know, because that was the issue that came up, is the duplication. So maybe we can just put in a section that says they must work together more effectively and make sure that there are no duplications.
Duplication, for example, if they build ECDCs and public work builds ECDC and education builds ECDC. So the integration that we're talking about is to ensure that where another department is supposed to carry that mandate, we should integrate so that there is no duplication, utilizing the same. It was coming with Mr. as well, that point. Oh, yes, so, okay. Point taken. You can continue.
Okay, and then there was the second bullet point. It says that, you know, the NPO funded by the department should expand their footprint in rural areas by fast-tracking the implementation of the policy on financial rewards by the provinces. I think this is entirely great, but I don't know how the other members feel. I would actually would have liked to see that we put in something that we say we would like the minister to increase the compliance of funded NPOs in terms of producing annual reports. So that should be a specific something that you should strive to.
Yes, maybe the department to monitor. I don't know what the right sentence could be, but what I think I'm reading is that you say the department should activate this, ensure that the funded NGOs do account. I don't know.
Yes, Honourable Chairperson, what I want to say is at the moment only 33% of them is compliant, and I think that the department should work to increase that number. You know, to have 60% of them comply, because it means more services then are being rendered. That was the one, yes, it's the issue of increasing the compliance of NGOs. And then, I don't know how other members feel, but I would have liked to see a specific recommendation on social workers and their remuneration of social workers, that it should be aligned as soon as possible. And maybe also a comment on, for example, the volunteers that they were saying doesn't get stipends. The social workers is such a big issue, and I think we're not making it a specific recommendation that their salaries should be aligned across the board as a matter of urgency. I don't know what that means.
Okay, can I finish the line by Honourable Gordon and then Obane? You know I know some Gordon. But it's between me and you. So I'll go to Honourable Mabilo as well as Honourable Osi after Honourable Obane, because your hand was up.
Thank you, Jefferson, and thank you for this presentation. On the very same issue that is being alluded by my colleague, Karen, on that recommendation 22, if you remember very well, it also comes from the presentation made by the organization, Shukumisa. The issue here on to facilitate the NPO policy on the financial award policy, it was because there was an inconsistency from the department when funding the NGO. Different, the same project, but the department fund differently. Like the child, well, the children program. In the West, in the Northern Cape, they receive more in the state school. So if the policy could be implemented as soon as possible, that would really try to come up with a measure. Because do you remember the other issue was a constitutional matter that the department was before constitutional matter based on a very simple policy, because there was no consistency in funding and doing the policy in the same way. I think maybe one of the things that we can do here, we can also mention the issue of NPO funding that is inconsistent.
And then we have been alluding to that, but you might not be saying in the way you're making your experience. But I'd ask them to check from the content advisor if that is not accommodated in this universitarianization. I'm not implying it does, but I only wanted to check what does it refer to, this new policy on yes. Something else. Okay, we'll come back when the content advisor has gone to honorable, because it is not a policy difference, but it's a matter of saying it must be attended, and it's a matter of that it must be addressed. I don't even think it requires a policy. I think it's operational, this thing of people who are getting more not doing the same work. I think it can be sorted without seeking a policy change, but the funders will tell us. Honorable Madilo, we're visiting you. Yes, yeah. Honorable, we could have acknowledged you.
No, I think Uga will be able to take a second bite. But since you can be three in terms of the recommendation, I think one is very comfortable with them. But I think before I make my point, I would like to refer to page 84. That is the two questions there. Under the same thing there, step number one. The monitor should ensure that the agency, blah, 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 awareness campaign so that order it can. So saying that we must remove that order so that it can remove the order. And we say it can reach all communities. Can't say into the rural area. We must say especially in rural areas. But if we mention all communities, it is informed that it includes rural areas. But if we want to use it as an emphasis, because rural areas are key areas in government, we can say especially in rural areas. That's the correction I wanted to make. But let's go back to 38. On the bullet number two, on the NPOs, I know considerable discussion. I'm disturbed here, I'm not protected.
No? Oh, sorry, I didn't get. They are going to retire early in this meeting, those who interfere with your input. Please go ahead.
They make me lose balance. Because I'm the only lady.
Yes, that's why I should be extra.
Okay, thank you. No, sir, I think we should not, you know, place too much responsibility on the department with respect to honorable people for matters that are the obligation of the receiving organization. Because look, all the NPOs, they've got their obligations to ensure that they have audited the state. So we can't place the burden on the department to do that. What I want to say, we must not bring recommendations that are difficult to implement. Because it is not the responsibility of the department to ensure NGOs comply. The NGOs must comply. That's why they are not receiving funds, because they have not submitted audited statements. So I was saying, the context must put it differently. Yes, the idea is to move from a particular percentage to a particular percentage. But let's place the onus on the relevant organization, and maybe as a recommendation, we can place it to say that all donor recipients must ensure that they need the necessary deadline so that they are not disadvantaged by not receiving the funds. But if we say social development must ensure not their core money. So I'm saying we must not place the burden. Then those who receive must be responsible. But
can I allow this whispering report of the week? He wants to amend what Honorable Kofan to support it. Can I leave you still time from Mama Post?
Okay. I'm fine. I request a second time.
Oh, because she was actually saying, why are we not saying Monica? We are working a better way of putting forward the meaning of what the minister should do so that those NGOs or NGOs can comply. We want them to comply, but we must instruct somebody to ensure that they comply. So you say it lies with them, so we just believe that because we are there to buy the honorable.
I think what the department should do, it's a responsibility to make sure that they put a mechanism. Because what is lacking, I was out here like, listening to the debate, what is lacking is mechanism to make sure that the NGOs become accountable. So I think it would stress you what you are saying, let the department make sure that they put, whether it's self mechanism or whatever that would say, but there should be mechanism to make sure that the person that I'm giving money must be accountable. If you don't have those mechanisms, if the person does not stick or whatever, comply to the mechanism, then I can withdraw whatever that I was giving that person.
That is the contract, Honorable, because that's the bite on the issue raised by Honorable Ma. It's the same, they agree with you. All we want to say is a better way of sending the message. Honorable, because, I mean, Honorable Ma, let's write an example. This board, right when I think it happens to me, they even first say to the NCOs, I think they even took the Department of Social Development to court. Yes. And the department won some of the cases because they were not complying. Mm-hmm. And when you are not complying, I'm not obliged to give you money because you're not complying. But at the same time, the other question was, did you and the person who is giving this person money put whatever triggers mechanism, whatever that you can say, to make sure that the person complies? So it's a two-way thing. We can just try and maybe perhaps and put it in a way that is going to fit both. But at the same time, there should be something that the department is doing for that. Because at the end of the day, if I don't comply, somebody takes money, service delivery is suffering. There's a service delivery the core of everything.
You are still on the floor, but please allow people to buy in your business. And I get another group for them.
Yeah, and the chairperson, I fully agree with the sentiments that have been raised. I think the issue that the emphasis must be on mechanisms in place. But also, remember, compliance starts with training. And that's why we have to lobby in that recommendation for increased funding to the NDA. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, if people are not capacitated through training, then they cannot comply. And so I think that's why the mechanisms are important, but also the increase, the recommendation on increased funding for the NDA, for training.
Back to you, Mbuso Nyamaza.
I don't want to belabor the point. But I think we are not imagining, we're talking in real concrete terms. It's a matter that emanated from one of the briefings in the department. There are questions posed by one member, asking why NGOs are not receiving. It was the kind of response that we got. But I think we'll be too soft on the NGOs and NPOs. I maintain the point that it is a responsibility to ensure that they have audited statements, they go to the auditors and their account. That can never be, because in terms of a business plan, you will give statement to say, I'm audited, what kind of training else do you want? The point I'm trying to say is that if we say NPOs must be, there must be a mechanism for them to out, yes, but the obligation should not be on the department. That's my point of focus. The obligation should be at the recipient the one that is benefiting. That's my point.
I think there was no counter argument in this one, except to say the department must ensure before they fund that particular NGO that they receive the necessary capacity so that when they are supposed to account, there are no issues of them not being trained or not, because I think there should be somewhere a format as to how do you account and the contract that you sign. So while that is being done by the department, because the department will fail its own mandate if it goes to sleep and say, all of you did not account. So the question that the committee will ask, if they were not accounting, did you identify what is the weakness? Why are they not complying? So immediately you have found a reason and a positive fact why they are failing their own obligation. Honorable Babilo, this committee is saying it is the obligation of NPOs to actually account, but the department must make it easy to facilitate that arrangement. So are we happy, Honorable Mungos?
I think this is like to make it very simple. The NPO is not accountable. The department is the one that we have to give instruction, whatever is the recommendation, to the department, then they will take that to whoever is accounting. Because the people who are accounting in terms of whatever is happening is the department. So I don't see anything wrong, Honorable Mungos, to say, department, because you are working with us, you are accounting to us, we are here to advise you, we are on the ground like they are themselves, but at the same time we need to make sure that all is well in the department in terms of that. Because NPOs are the ones that are there in the that are kept to provide safety to the people. We need them. But at the same time, if they are not doing what is expected for them to do in terms of compliance, because if they do not comply, who is going to get an old opinion on that? It's not the NPO, it's the department. So we need to make sure that we talk to the department on a video. I'm sure you are convinced.
You guys seem for me are very healthy, and they're actually are helping us to ensure that what we resolve, what we insert, is very clear. I like this. It's very healthy debate, but Honorable Mkhosi is on the floor. Not necessarily, you had your hand up, not necessarily in the manner, but the second bite, you said it would be a second. So you're still on the floor, on the Mambilo, so your second bite is going to come when I go to all second bites. Mm-hmm. So the platform is now for Honorable Mkhosi.
Thank you. On page 17, under the Tasisi Lutheran Church and Fortnite Church has been working here for the 20 years, for I know the thing. But what the last committee has raised on the issue of admitting the children with physical challenge or special need, I think is a very, very serious concern that we need to take at this point. When that center was built, it was only this take of young people that were in challenge with the law. So it doesn't have anything to do with people with special needs. And as we speak, people with special needs are being admitted, even if children there. There are no facilities, there are no bars, there's nothing for them. So I wonder, how is the department dealing with this thing? Because the cry to the social workers and child and healthcare workers, including the healthcare workers of that center. And it is imminent to say that some report that the children are being abused by the staff because they don't have facilities to deal with the thing. So I don't know how far that committee went in addressing this issue. But if there's nothing that the committee didn't do, I would like to recommend that Washington Sulu Marine admit any children with a disability before the center is being interconnected into a multi-people on so that we take everybody. But so far, it's not so safe to admit maybe a child that can see in that space, because the child will be confined inside the walls and not going outside. A child with a wheelchair cannot even go and play outside in one country city because there's no facility. So it's a secondary abuse that is due to those children. So what we need to do is to the community, let's check where these kids can be admitted. We do have the NGOs around Soweto that deal with the kids with disabilities that can be trusted there. Because at the end of the day, indeed, we are here to advocate, even if to include the children, the rights of the children, not maybe to do the secondary abuse on them. It is a serious matter on this one.
And I say to the committee, I'm also in receipt of a letter from the chairperson of social development in the Eastern Cape. When he was phoning me with his team, they were in Chad visiting a center which is kept by Musasa. And then they were requesting that this committee also pay a visit so that they are the recommendations to that legislature are strengthened by the recommendations from this portfolio committee. However, the letter does not expand as to what are the challenges, but I'm only reminded because that standard they're talking about is also meant for children who are in conflict with the law. But I also think there is a policy confusion around the management of centers with children who are in conflict with the law versus the centers that recruit youth with challenges. But also what Honorable Ngozi is sending to this committee is that there is no clear management of these institutions, so schools that deal with children with disability. Some of mine is like ordinary schools. So I can be taken to be a teacher there without any training that pertains to their special needs, as well as access to physio and it's not an intervention that your arm becomes better. Then you get exercises. It's just permanent that because you have this difficulty, you must just learn and then be who you are in the same. There's no effort to change your situation physically because there's no consistency in terms of physiotherapy and attending to special needs so that you can improve physically, let alone that you can be able to. Imagine if you are in a wheelchair, you can come out walking on crutches, which has improved your accessibility to things. I think we must visit one or two, including World Cup School, so that when we give each other a report here, we will ask researchers also to do the same. But honorable members can do the honorable thing by physically going there, so that they are experienced in delivering the final instruction to the department. This is not going to be an instruction to anybody, but it's going to be part of our program. I remember filing this on top of the anti-abuse centers that were to be visited. Now we are saying that regard, you include the issue of disability, because I think also they will be bringing to us the amendment bill on disability, so that we must be clear what we are saying about children with disability and their ability to learn to be assisted. So I think that one I agree with Honorable Ngozi, but I don't know whether you are doing your point, and then I'll come to other members. She's trying to cut in case you were already cutting on.
I wanted to check whether those children with disabilities are they in conflict with the law, not the constant law. Let's get a point.
because it might happen that they are also in conflict with the law. Okay, can I get this level too?
So you will add to what you were saying this answer. Thank you very much.
Yeah, there are those who are in conflict with the law, and there are those that are not in conflict with the law. And again, maybe what I need to say, the center is divided into two parts. There's a church, which is those who are in conflict with the law, and there's a POS, the place of faith. So the place of faith is the one that is fostering offense, and including the place of faith is not inclusive in terms of the disability. So as much as this thing, we can say we must go back and do the visit and what. The men said that the disabled kids are suffering in the center. It's so sad in case of safety when the 3-year-old run going outside to play, then the other one is sitting inside the dormitory. So this is a very, very, when we talk about the standards of social development, it's one of the things that the social development needs to do in terms of the admission plan of their centers. I will say this because I had a passion about the children. That is my profession that I took, so we cannot allow them to suffer. Because as we speak now, there are kids that are being admitted there. Then on my second question,
maybe to clarify this point, that legally, we're not supposed to act without seeing.
Yes.
So it is going to be, and as a matter, it might not be the entire committee that goes there. That's for fact finding. So that it fits into what we are going to say. I understand the agencies that you raising in this committee. I think we must take as an effort, including deploying people to go and have a fact finding without necessarily taking within the process of the oversight visit, but a fact finding meeting, so that when we engage the department on this matter, because we have to request the department to come and we inform them of the crisis, and then they must give us an action that day, what are they going to do immediately. And I say so because I know how they progress. I just want to be very clear when we deal with those opportunities.
In terms of the Soweto Old Age Home, and again, the one type of surgery, I'm still on page 17. On the registration of the Department of Health, the certificate of registration, maybe the state must be taken seriously, especially on the old age home, because it's where we need the health inspector, everybody to be on the compliance of the homes. So I will educate the department must take that is including the state of Soweto, because the so which all is home is residing on that place of my bed. It's just 5 minutes working there. So the home is doing well. It's a shock to me when I read that it's not yet registered hitting the certificate. I check the thing I've got the last one. It's on the issue of professionalization. In fact, the finding was it on the social workers. We cannot say that the department demands the social workers. We do have the sitters, especially the social workers that are in on NGOs. Let's refer this matter to the seeker must assist. Because if the seeker can assist in other professions, why can't they assist in terms of the internship for the social workers, the ones that are in NGOs? We cannot put everything on the department head with the body that the department is having. As much as we wanted to professionalize or we wanted to put the profession of social worker up, the method is to say, let the seeker assist on the issue of the payment of social workers, the ones that are in the NGOs. Because one thing is, most of the social workers, some of them are not staying long into the organization. It's like a transit to them. A person will come, the department will give their bazaar. After 6 or after a year, we'll go to the private sector. Whereas it will be a loss to us. So let the seeker intervention of the seeker come as part of assisting on the funding motion for the social workers.
Because we are not necessarily implementers,
ours is to record, is to refer this matter of the entire process on NPOs, Honorable Edgecock, NPOs, the need to professionalize them, the need to ensure that those professionals who render their service there get equal treatment wherever they are, or put a standard that if an NGO or NPO receives services from a professional, whether it's a doctor or whatever, at least something must be done. But on the issue of leaders also, the department must ensure that it does this RGR. Who else can support them? So we will be trying to a little bit to be a detail when we make this recommendation, maybe say EG, just to remind them that this matter of a private public partnership does work. Honorable, you heard, I think your matter was linked to Honorable Kosima.
Just in addition to what Honorable Mokotsi spoke about, there is a policy on disability that the department is bringing out. And I think by risking the institution, we would like proper input into that policy. Because there is a policy coming out.
Mm.
And there is, besides the policy, the act. So we can draw out and see that we can like input into that. And I want, because Honorable, just whisper to when it comes to, you know, but it is correct to the payment, you know, the salary, etc. of social workers. Just like all the public servants that go through the public service, go through the administration, the public service and administration, you know, department. So we have to, that has to be left there. We won't be able to do something about it here.
Actually, I don't know, sometimes it helps to have, I don't know who is responsible for me that. Because sometimes it helps that people who are all the legal people who are attached to committees to advise us, because in the province, our money was not including anything that has to do with the remuneration. We will even discuss it in the portfolio committee. It was clear that as portfolio committees, we are not supposed to do that. And I think what we can do in the point of Honorable de Kock, we can say to the department, at least there are retention strategies. So that whatever that is contained, they should make sure that we retain the social workers. Because this is a two-way street. NGOs are losing them, NGOs are losing them to us because we are paid better, they are better, better packages, including housing, medical aid and all those things. But at the same time, we are also ourselves losing social workers to others with our departments. Not to private as we thought. But I think the Department of Social Development is an advisory, and we need social workers in rural areas more than anything else. They need to a little bit strengthen whatever they are kind of strategy. If they have to put a rural allowance, whatever, but all in all, I'm trying to say the recommendation is the retaining strategy of social workers or essential services that they have, the department is.
We do have this in the pipeline, because when the minister was here last time, she agreed to the plight of the social workers entirely, and she actually said their target is to have one social worker, one more. But also saying that will not even be enough, because families are supposed to be linked to social workers as families. But maybe this whole package of retaining them after training, we will discuss as a separate matter so that the minister can take us on board on all the plans holistically around this particular important service of enabling our communities. Because remember, there's a recommendation which says psychosocial support of those who live in poverty, which means, therefore, that's the work of the social workers. So we will need a holistic plan, a brief plan, that the minister will give us. I don't know whether it is will be accommodated as a recommendation. Not necessarily that the department must do payment, but that the department must give us a holistic strategy of having access to these professional services. So I think it requires its recommendation. But we're not talking about how much they're supposed to be paid. We are not saying they must be employed, but we are saying the need for the service is there. So the plan must be given to us honestly. Oh, sorry. Do you have an answer?
No, I just wanted to get the members to page 26. Here, on the Committee of Directions when this process comes. Just to add what you just said, Jefferson, the minister made it, said that the department is going to review the payment of social workers across the board in order to standardize the salary. So there is something that the minister says, but it's on top and above of having the one social worker per board. She answered the fact that they are doing a review of the payment of to sanitize them.
Thank you, Chair. I would suggest that maybe we also, the department must come and brief us on the policy on financial awards, because, and we also have to have the copy of the judgment, because one of the issues was the payment of social workers within the NPO, because the judgment was saying 62% of the social service is rendered by the NPO on behalf of social development. Now, what is important, when social development is funding the NPO, they fund them based on the program. They don't care how many professional social workers are there. That is the point that we need to address. If maybe the department can come into the presentation on this policy or financial award, we'll address all these issues on funding and consistency on services regarding the social services within the NGO. The other thing, Chairperson, one issue that is still so critical that maybe the department needs to look into, maybe when that policy will be addressed. Social workers, like my colleague alluded, the Veritan department, they are taking the social workers from the NGOs because they are not paid. But the other issue why we are losing them to other departments is because there is no career path within social workers, social service, because social workers, someday they become managers and then they realize there's nothing to gain here. They go somewhere else. Maybe the retention strategy or the career path that we have to look into. Lastly, regarding the social workers, also when they have been doing the other little study, some of them, when they do their second year, they drop and other careers because they say they're in the wrong profession. There is no career path. And then most of the university, they give more funding to the science, people who are in science. They had more privileges compared to this one. So those are the things that we have to look into.
If you don't mind me interrupting you, you actually reminding this committee that there is a social worker in the harbor that is going to be in November. So the social workers themselves are going to be there. But now we can benefit from a briefing as to how this program is going to be done. I remember the minister responding to this question of social workers saying, no, I've decided that the social workers must now talk. So she is actually having a paradigm shift, which must be informed by these matters, this contribution, all the contributions must go into our document. So that, not as a recommendation, to say, so that when we read this, and when the other committee comes in our absence, they can see the vision where we were moving toward with the issue of professionalizing the social support to our communities according to their different needs in so far as that is concerned. Can we close this matter?
I'd like to add. One thing important to discuss with social workers will be the demand and supply. Because there are problems there when it comes to our social workers coming out of the system. How many social workers do we need in the next 5 years or in the next 10 years? Because just look what our social workers are not being placed. And then also when it comes to adversity, there are conditions, I'm not sure. Because there are other bursaries, given that to teachers, the Kuzulu Saka, there are conditions attached to it. So put all those things into the same package.
I think that would go to, we will have to say, we will make our own submission. Although we will have the right to have the submission so that it is considered within that endeavor. Because our experience as we speak are not the same as theirs. So secondly, we are not biased to any hours biased towards receiving the best service for our people. So we'll have our own input so that when they put a package for discussion, then they include it. Because the input that is there, the demands, the profession, and also how they are supported, where they are. Because some of their experiences are very traumatic. And they really need support systems to keep them there. So can we say we are done? I can see other members, they are above now to say they want to go. Okay, divide your second bite. And Honorable Mavilo has got a second bite. But the bites, I don't think are in the same piece that we have been chewing now.
No, okay. Even that report has been those that are doing the actions and all this. So this is my eyes. You talked about the English, but then for me it's incredible how I'm not here when you're talking. So some of the things I can't say happen like this. But I wanted to ask one thing as I was going through the report, then is there a difference between observation and consent? So I wonder to the consistent in using the way. Observation and consent. Can I get an answer on that? Because as I'm going through the report, you get consent, you get observation. Is there a difference on that? And perhaps maybe a person, after I've got an answer to the person, then I'll have it, but I think I'll read the point.
Because I said there's no other bite, we're biting the same piece with another agreement.
Thank you, Jefferson. I understand the two words have got two different meanings, in that an observation is you're noting something, but a concern is you are worried about something. So in the one case, you are noting, say, for example, observing information, but you're not actually concerned with it. But as soon as you use the word concern, you're worried about a trend or information given. That's my understanding. But the English teacher can...
Committee observation. The committee commends the NDA for whatever. It further commends how are those observations. I don't want to finish the sentence. I'm saying, look at the heading, say committee observation. Look at the content of the person's group. The committee commended the NDA for the increased allocation to project costs and reduction in administration costs. It further commended the NDA for exceeding the government stability. The committee was satisfied by the entity initiative to mobilize that. For me, that's an observation. The true one. I don't know whether are they of the observation. The caption of the sentence, the committee commended.
The committee made an observation and therefore commended.
What was the observation when you commended that?
You read it.
So you're observing their performance. So you are noting what they've done. So it's an observation that you are noting. So it's merely observation is noting and commending. So I understand what you're saying, but you are in fact noting their good performance. Mm. And noting and observation is the same. You're merely observing what they've done. And therefore,
I understand. I'm saying the caption of the sentence. Once you comment, is it an observation?
You can only comment when you make an observation. Mm. But you may not necessarily write down all what you observe. Mm. But because if you are concerned, you can make a recommendation. So because I see this, therefore, the department must improve. But if you make your own observation in this matter, then you comment because the observation, once you comment, it means the observation was positive.
Yes. I understand, but I'm saying when you capture it, it was a capturing your report here. Because in my little knowledge or analysis, I'll say the committee, okay, it's an observation. We observe that the NPA has increased allocations to project costs.
Yes.
Because commenting, give it another meaning.
That's why I'm saying
because this is a report. Yes. This is a report that is going to go to public. And the report we are doing all of us, immediately if it has got all of flaws, it's about all of us. It's a reflection of all of us.
We fully agree.
That's my point.
We fully agree, and we have been open with this constructive criticism all the way. But then, when you put your point forward, you open it up for others to talk.
Okay.
So, Honorable Mavilo can...
No, I think your clarification is consistent. That before the committee can know that there's an increase in allocation, it should be a first observed. And that is what has happened. It's based on the observed. Now they say thank you for that. That's what the comment. Yes. So I don't see how my colleague is lost there. The interpretation of the explanation you may say should suffice.
Okay. Then Honorable Abram.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. It is agreed that the committee commended the NDA for increased allocation to project costs. I would state the word and say the committee praised the NDA for the increased allocation in that context. Because what it is saying is well done, we agree.
But when you say commend, you are really saying well done.
Yes.
You are saying you acknowledge that they have done well as a result because of they have increased, which means there was a concern sometimes. And then the observation is that there has been a change, and that change is substantiated by increment in for what, and therefore they are commended for having done that.
Are we all agreeing? I will say that I think it's a very good question. It's not an observed.
Mm.
You have observed that the NDA has increased. But I'm worried about the commended part of it. I thought the sentence when you capture it, you should say, like the head bullet. The head bullet is captured correctly. Because it says exactly what the committee observed at that time. Your satisfaction that the entity initiative to that. You can comment it fine, you commend them when they are making that. But when you capture your report, when you check a report, it becomes differently.
Because I thought how
in observation,
how I say
the committee has observed that the NPA has increased allocations to the project.
How I wish when we discuss this matter, we are very open because it's merely making a document. Oh, so I don't think someone is saying about better management of this language or understanding it. So if we take it in that spirit, that there is no criticism here. It's a matter of wanting to improve the document. So our argument around that is, and I will go back and to Honorable Abrams and Honorable Van der Merwe as well. So let's give the opportunity ourselves. We are engaged in an exercise that wants us to have the best tolerance of each other's comments, and that also wants us to arrive at our conclusions. Everyone is comfortable that no, I had time to express my views. That's why we are taking a little bit long. So Honorable Abrams, Honorable Van der Merwe, I will keep Honorable Mamilo.
I think committee observations, just observation, in other words, is not just, and maybe it's just plain English. I think it's just words. Observations, in other words, is being committee noticed. And in that context, I think it is, you know, being noticed. Observing can be mean something else, but in this instance, it actually means notice. Because committee noticed, and they're commending what has happened. Thank you.
What can I
Yes.
Can I say that the committee has a duty to interact with the document, and then they report on observation. So it can't be a matter that it's just noticed. It's a matter that has been put forward to be observed and see whether good or bad has been done. So, Honorable
I'm actually covered, because at the end of the day, if you change it, it's like the committee noted in, then you're actually changing what was said, because what I said was we commended them for increasing their disability target, and we also commended them for spending less on administration. So I fully agree that observations in this case, but I mean, at the end of the day, we went through the documents, we observed, and how it's captured, the person who captured it was observing the discussions and the comments, right? It's almost like minutes of the meeting there. So I understand that, you know, it's the way the language is drafted, but it's a true reflection of what was seen in the committee, and the person who captured the report observed that discussion.
A reaction by members of the committee after this report was given. The acknowledgement and the comments that we made around the development. So it is reflecting how we reacted to this development.
Please, Honorable Gugu, help me to move forward. Please, I appeal to you.
I'm very suggesting I said I will die for it for now. But at the same time, we go and research. When you do a report, because doing a report is very important. The report, somebody else will be reading the report. I'm not disputing, because as I'm looking at the discussion now, it's like I'm disputing the weight of the document. I'm covered about that. That's why I'm even saying the third one, the way it's kept up. It makes sense to a person who was not there. And then I'm dying.
Okay, the note you read, because you have actually said...
I'll write the obituary.
But you see, no, the Honorable woman has said she will come back to this debate. Probably will be having time. But it's interesting when we take up debate in a healthy manner that we do, as we are doing the Honorable thing. So can I close this matter and say the recommendations are not going to be well kept at, all of them, because the other ones that were added must be formalized and added into your document. And then we will also be sending to Honorable Members a page that is going to be dedicated trying to capture your views in so far as what we recommend. Why I say to this recommendation is because it is the only way that will enable the committee to observe whether the department has complied to the recommendations. So if we leave something else, and in the process when budget has been done and everything, we come with new recommendations, will make it difficult for the department, because they will have to reprioritize. They will have to want to to take somewhere in order to meet our recommendations. So I think as we going to have a session of adopting the report, can I implore the members to allow that additional recommendation? You can, yes, yes.
No, let us complete. If you want to, let's just first complete. Don't let's change it.
Okay, I'm saying this document must not be closed without formalizing the in terms of good English way of linking to where it belongs. Because we have been discussing, and then out of that discussing, we've come with recommendations that were not part of the recommendations that you brought forward. And when we came with this document, honorable members, we agreed with the officials that some of the recommendations will be amended in this. And they have done exactly with that, but it has not been properly made a format of the recommendations as you would follow them. We're not intending to change what recommendations are, but we are clear that we can't do good work within these minutes to clearly say this is the list of all recommendations so that members know what we have recommended. It seems you don't agree. Not, I'm not asking. You have the right to put forward the legal process.
Thank you very much, Representative, and all of the members. I hear what you are suggesting, but my only concern is with regard to ETHAD friends. The process must be completed before the 24th, which is Friday. So I got the impression that by the time you propose amendments, you lead, I will try to capture all the proposed amendments, incorporating them in this document. So
that's exactly I'm saying, but I am also saying why to process the document. Members, there have been these new editions. They should get them. Mm-hmm. Not never that we're gonna wait for them, but as for the record, we must know that we said increase this. So that we don't have a confusion as what are the final recommendations. Okay.
I'll come to the list and
okay, Catherine, what I can report now is I have, what's the right word? Tagged the recommendation. What I'm not sure about what you're saying, Catherine, is do I now forward them to the members of the group, have a look at them, or you adopt with these recommendations? Mm-hmm. But what's the process now so that I can do that thing?
My thinking was that we are going to adopt the document now. But I was also thinking that this is a very long document. And secondly, as it is long, I've seen areas where you were correcting this and that, not the context. But if you are comfortable, there's no delay in adoption. There's no delay in anything. But I always want a clarity and specific when it comes to adopt the last action. But can we say we're moving towards adoption now? Okay, so you are on the table.
Before adoption, I want to make one recommendation. I've gone through this document last night and this morning. There's one recommendation that is not clearly captured.
Yes.
And that recommendation for me is on page 21. The first one, yes. Our concern cannot be around the murder of older persons and abuse. And then we relate that only to the older person's death. It can't be correct. Because it's an immediate social challenge. I want to make a recommendation in relation to that concern of abuse of older persons and the murder. So the recommendation through your commission chair I want to make is that the department must work in close cooperation with law enforcement agencies around the plight of the older person. Because it is not that we are linking the murder and the abuse to the death, older person's death, that should be still be developed or established. So I'm saying that in the short term,
rather than waiting for, while we are waiting for the death, let's instruct the department or the minister to work closely with staff around this problem. That is the only observation that I mean, the recommendation that I wanted to make.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I'm probably not out of order, but I didn't have a second slide, and I do think that currently this is not an observation or a recommendation, but I do think it is the important issue. And it came up at the Medical Research Council and at the NGO that was here on Friday. And in both cases, it was said that there's a lack of current relevant statistics, specifically with regards to intimate homicide, child homicide, rape, and substance abuse. And I was just thinking that we could make a recommendation to the department that they should commission or mobilize for this research to be done. I don't know how that happened in this field, but I think that is quite an important thing that can happen.
I don't know whether it is linked with the white paper or incentives or whatever. It's different. Okay, so why don't we craft this recommendation, therefore, so that we put it now? Members opposed to instructing the department to work with us in order to cap these incidences of elderly people being abused or murdered. Members are saying it's fine.
The last thing, I'm not entirely sure of the recommendation that is made about increased psychosocial support. For me personally, that is a very broad statement. You know, I would actually take it out, because I do think that we cover it by the other recommendations. And then I don't understand the recommendation baseline funds for public participation. I cannot remember what the discussion was.
I can remind you, Honourable Member, because we had the violence that we were not happy about on Program 5, where Imikhondo falls. And then we are saying, I'm not referring to the baseline part of it. Yes, I'm referring to the program itself. So our argument was that the department must reprioritize during planning. So in the process, they don't move funds from another program to another. They should have an understanding as to if we are going to have public participation and we are going to have outreach, we are going to have individual. So we must be able to know exactly which program provides the department with certain activity. And therefore, probably say two Mikondos or three Mikondos in a province or in a region, so that the estimation of what they will require to do that is clear during planning, because we don't think it's correct, Honourable Dikok, to take from Program 5 and from Program 1, and because there's more need in Program 6, you better know and reprioritize that at least are budgeted for this. We can see when you have been depleted because of other
I completely understand and I completely agree. I think maybe we must just rewrite it in a way that it reflects on that statement.
Yes, we see that this recommendation, there will be no more fighting now. What will happen at document we had of what we see, we take out that recommendation there because it repeats recommendation 33, 1, 2, 3, 4. We say the minister should lobby National Treasury to increase funding for food security programs and public participation in the form of projects. This will ensure that the department reduces violence for
public participation. So we think it has to remove that one, and then this one is good enough. Thank you.
What a wise input. Thank you very much. Can I please? Okay. I don't think your teeth are ready to bite anymore, but continue.
No, I want to put a proposal here after the summary. I want to propose with amendments effective to this report. I propose that we drop the report. It's a proposal.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. Thank
you very much. Can we read for the...
Thank you.